WGIF. It's Manson Mitchell with Gary Manson, Suzanne Mitchell. A double shot of good conversation with great guests to jumpstart your weekend. Manson Mitchell, you're on the air.
Thank you, Eric Kramer. Hi, everybody. I'm Gary Manson.
I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
Welcome to the Manson Mitchell Show. Delighted to have you with us. And delighted once again of a Friday to be working with bad boy Benny Mathers at the board, our producer. Benny, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing very well to my favorite Floridians. And are you guys going to be able to see the lunar eclipse?
Yes. At
wow, you sound so
small,
you know,
percentage
with that. Yeah.
No, we're getting like 50-60%, something like that. So
that's
not going to be the total, but yeah. You know, we're on the sides.
It's not bad.
Are you going to see any of it in Seattle?
Probably not. You know, it's usually cloudy here anyway, so you know.
Oh, that's true.
But my
you
sister
know, that is. I'm sorry to interrupt. That is some concern to people who are traveling great distances because clouds might be obscuring the totality where they have traveled to from out of state. I hope that doesn't happen to them. I have a rooting interest in the sun in all its shining glory and the moon in its glory, creating a totality for, I think it's, is it under 4 minutes?
Something like that. It's like two.
It's like four minutes, but yeah.
Roughly.
When you look at it going from Texas all the way past New York, it looks like it's going to be going on for about 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, right.
So they're just going to keep, you know, moving the camera to the next place where it's going to be. And yeah, 130 million people are going to be available to see it. And the rest of us will be looking from the side.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. From the side. Yeah.
A celestial event.
My sister and her husband are going to travel to Texas to try to catch it in a neighborhood that they have some friends that live in down there. And then also, I don't know if you knew this, the Sun Chips, the brand, you know, the chips brand, they're actually releasing a limited run of like an eclipse bag for just the time amount.
Oh, funny.
So like, yeah. I don't know, do you want to spend your time online or at the stores during the eclipse to buy those, those limited chips? Or do you want to actually see the eclipse? See, that's the huge dilemma there. I don't know what to do. I'm blown.
I'd hate to have a bag of those chips in my hand, step out of the store and go,
be like, aw, I missed it. Sun Chips, you win again.
I don't know if you saw this, Benny, but last night on the news, they had a 105-year-old man who has seen every eclipse in his lifetime.
Wow.
And he keeps going to where the eclipses are. And at 105, as it happens, he lives in Texas and he doesn't have to travel this time.
So this is probably going to be the best one.
Probably. At 105.
Yep. Going for it.
Yeah, he was just widowed last year.
Aww.
And my girlfriend's mother is 102, so I'm thinking, you know.
Could there be a little magic in the air? Okay.
Could there be?
All right.
Apart from our matchmaking, we have a radio show, which is
a radio show.
Yes, and then it is turned into a podcast. And welcome once again, everyone. Today, we have a first-time guest, Suzanne.
We do, and we love our first-timers. She has written a book called Untapped Magic, Manifestation Methods for Living a Limitless Life. And we have read this book cover to cover. And why don't you go ahead and do the about the author, and then we'll start talking to this nice lady.
It is my pleasure. Chloe Panta is the author of Untapped Magic and a highly sought after mindset expert and transformational coach who helps people achieve their ultimate life goals. Chloe uses an evidence-based proven system with scientific data to support its effectiveness to help her clients overcome obstacles that are keeping them stuck in life. Chloe has been featured in numerous media outlets, including the Los Angeles Times, Newsweek, and Medium. She lives in Los Angeles, and she's visiting with us as an honored guest. We have read the book cover to cover. It is extraordinary. Chloe Panta, welcome to Manson Mitchell.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Suzanne. I'm really happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. You've got some Great information in Untapped Magic. Interesting that you call it magic when we're talking about manifesting, because the way you write about it, it doesn't seem that magical. It seems very doable. Why did you think of it as magic?
I thought of it as magic because I think of our minds as this magical tool that some of us don't tap into. And I wanted to write the book to help people to utilize their mind and also the way that they think and tap it into their subconscious mind to actually cultivate a life that they love. And Untapped Magic, it just seemed fitting at the time. And that's one of the reasons why I thought it would be a really good book and a title for me to kind of just go into that by using the untapped potential that we have and how we actually can cultivate what we want in this world by just using the power of our mind.
When Gary and I have talked to people who are metaphysically oriented, in other words, the things in your mind, not necessarily the physical things, but the things beyond the physical, what we find with everybody is that there's some either event or some time in their life when a little switch went off. And I'm wondering, you know, how old were you and what was your awakening moment, or what was one of your early inspirations, something you heard, something you read, something somebody said to you where you said, oh, maybe there's more to this life than I thought?
The first time, I was 23 years old. And this was when I was introduced to Earl Nightingale. And I listened to some of his motivational talks on YouTube. And that really propelled me to open my eyes. But I was still teetering back and forth. And I just felt like it can't be this simple. It can't be this easy. And I kind of went back and I wasn't really focused on trying to change my life because it just didn't seem as if I was ready for that type of transformational change. But I had a true awakening, I would say, when I was 28 years old. I went to a retreat. And this retreat, I was also kind of adamant, like, I don't know if this is for me. This doesn't seem like I really want to, you know, delve into this type of spiritual retreat. I think I'm just going to do things on my own. But at the time, my partner was like, you know, I think if you go to this retreat, it'll really open up your eyes and it'll help you to understand more about what you're seeking, which is spiritual truth, but also how I can manifest the life that I really want to live and just complete joy and bliss and abundance and all the things I was looking for. And there was a question that I was still teetering with as of, well, how can I become what I really want to become? And how can I get to that person? How can I become the Chloe that I want to be? And at that retreat, I was sitting down and something clicked when the person who was leading the retreat, the facilitator, said that we are not this mind. We are not this body. We are simply having an experience as a human in this world, and we are connected spiritually. And when he said that, it all made sense to me and everything just kind of clicked. It was the missing piece of the puzzle. And when I went to that retreat, it made me delve even deeper into my spiritual practice. I began to meditate on a daily basis and things just began to happen to me for the better. And that was the moment of truth for me when I realized this is the path I need to go down. I don't have to continue down the path I was going before where my life was just kind of comfortable. I wanted to expand on my knowledge of spirituality, and that was the missing puzzle for me. So 28 was when I had my aha moment, and I really began to go even deeper into understanding how I could cultivate and change my life for the better. And that's when things just kind of happened for me, and my life has been the best it's been ever since.
You know, Chloe, I see so much of my own story in what you just said, and it calls to mind something that I'm sure I've heard and read any number of times over the years, that the truth, the highest truth about who we are individually and our potential to live our best life, to thoroughly enjoy life, is something that awaits our realization. It's not like it wasn't there before. It was there before, but we needed to wake up to it. It's almost like that truth was standing on the street corner looking at its watch, waiting to see if we would arrive. You arrived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I did. You know, what you call, or what was written about your book as far as being based on ancient wisdom and foundational principles, mm-hmm. when Gary and I were talking about it, he said, this sounds just like new thought principles. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if at some point you looked more into new thought writers or spirituality or religion while in your own life.
I did. I looked into everything because I just wanted to know what is the truth. Early in my journey, this was in my early 20s, I listened to a lot of Joyce Myers and I listened to a lot of her shows because I wanted to create myself as a person that had good morals and values. And I wanted to just feel great waking up in the morning and listening to what she had to say. It actually helped me to build those solid foundations. And even though I didn't agree with everything that was said, she helped me to have that foundation and get set. But then I also found out about Gabrielle Bernstein, and I really enjoyed listening to her and also reading her books. Deepak Chopra was also someone that I began to study. There's also another author, Sanaya Roman. She was channeled through, I believe, a spirit guide to write a book, and this book also helped to change my life. So there have been a lot of spiritual teachers that I've listened to and I've read about, even Sadhguru, who is an Indian philosopher. And I have put together everything that I've learned from them. I've taken the parts that have made sense to me. And then I've also delved even deeper into metaphysics because I wanted to know more about the in-between, the world that we cannot see, but the world that is responsible for bringing what we think about in our subconscious mind into the physical world. And just all of that, I wanted to put that together in my own words so that I can translate that to help the everyday average person who doesn't know anything about this, to help them understand this is how you get what you want, really. It's deeper than just obviously mantras and saying, you know, wonderful things. It's actually taking action on how to get to that point to make it your reality. So all of those teachers have inspired me to write this book in their own special ways.
And I was delighted that you mentioned Earl Nightingale. That's some vintage stuff when you go back to Earl Nightingale days. How did you come upon him?
It's crazy. This was like 22, 23. I was working in a job that I did not like, and I was talking to a coworker, and the coworker was telling me, you know what, if you really want to change your life, you need to listen to this 36-minute black and white video. It's on YouTube. It's by Earl Nightingale. It's called The Secret, and it's called The Strangest Secret in the World. Listen to this video. It will change your life. And literally, that was my very first aha moment, because it propelled me into thinking about or understanding another world that I had never thought about before. Prior to that, and this may seem crazy, I was never in tune with my emotions. I was never in tune with my body. I just kind of put all those things on the back burner because I felt that they didn't matter. They're not connected. The mind and body and spirit are not connected. So it doesn't matter how my emotions feel or how I feel. I just put all of that on the back burner because I was so focused on trying to make money and live a better life. But I didn't know that those were connected. And listening to Earl Nightingale opened my eyes in a way that, well, we are connected. The mind, body, and spirit is connected and it's one. And if we're out of alignment with any of those, then what we're trying to manifest is not going to show up in our lives. So listening to Earl Nightingale, and I still listen to him, you know, on a drive or just randomly, just to kind of reiterate what I've learned. But back in, this was like probably 2008, 2009, I listened to Earl Nightingale and he actually changed my life. And that's when I began to understand this is how you get what you want. And if you do what I'm telling you to do, you actually can create the life that you want. And just by doing that, small things began to happen. Synchronicities began to happen to me simply by implementing something that I didn't even know existed. So that's how I got introduced to a friend, just randomly again. Before the friend reached out to me, I was reaching out to Spirit to say, hey, I need help. I don't know what kind of help I need, but can you send someone to me or send me a sign that I'm, you know, destined for greater things? And can you help me to get where I need to go? And the friend was someone who was able to translate to me in a language I would understand. Listen to this video. It's going to change your life. And literally it did. And that's what happened. That propelled me to take the journey that I'm on right now.
When, as a seeker of truth, Chloe, did you experience any dissonance with perhaps the religion that you grew up with?
Absolutely. And that was one of the reasons why I was so, I guess you can say, called to find something else. Because whenever we'd go to church, and we go to church practically every Sunday as a kid, we were in church. My family, I was raised as a Christian, so we'd go to church pretty much every Sunday. And the thing that I noticed was that people who go to church, they would all be happy and joyous and wonderful. But then throughout the week, things would change. They would get grumpy, or they would be disoriented, or they would complain. And I just wanted to know, well, if God is all love and power and can provide us with everything, why are there so many unhappy people? And this propelled me to want to understand why there were people who were super successful and who were happy regardless of religion. And then there were people who were religious, but they were not happy. Most of them, at least the ones who I associated with. And I wanted to understand, where's the disconnect between the successful people and then the ones who are not successful? And that put me on a quest to actually go to different churches and organizations to interview priests. I've talked to pastors. I've talked to nuns. I've talked to so many different leaders in organizations to understand, how can I cultivate a happy life? And not a single one could give me a single straight answer. So that's why I sought help elsewhere in the spiritual realm, because I wanted to know, well, if I'm not able to get a straight answer from the religious organizations I've been seeking advice from, let me find another place. And I kind of dabbled in Buddhism, and I dibbled and dabbled in other religions, because I wanted to understand, I simply just want to cultivate happiness in my life. That's all I want. I want to wake up happy every single day for no reason at all. I didn't want to have to dread my job or hate going to work or hate my partner or my situation. I wanted to love my life holistically. And when I began to dive deep into spirituality, that was the missing piece for me. But it was scary because I grew up as a Christian. So having to say, well, I no longer practice this anymore, and I'm going to start doing something different, is scary because everyone else you know is a Christian. They are religious. And I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, especially my family, but I wanted to do what was best for me. And that's kind of why I dibbled and dabbled back and forth for so long, because I was kind of confused as to, well, if we don't have heaven and hell that we go to outside of this world, then we must live heaven and hell on this earth. And once I understood that our experiences are what we go through, and those are considered heaven through the bliss that we live, or hell if we're going through a really tough time, it isn't a place that we venture off to after our death, but we actually live it here, it began to make a lot of sense to me. So that's kind of what I've gone through and how I've been able to cultivate a life that I live right now, but also to just feel more confident and also understand more about my journey, and that I've gone through what I've gone through so that I can help other people to find their peace.
Wow.
Beautifully said.
Wise beyond your years, Chloe.
Personally, what I like to say is, if hell exists, it's between our ears. I don't believe in a geographical place to which bad people are consigned when their earthly life is over. No, I don't believe that. However, what impresses me so much about what you've said, Chloe, is that you took the comparative approach, the eclectic approach, to drawing on different sources and integrating them in a way that works for you. Now, I'm not knocking anybody who believes they have the truth by following one path to God, one way of religion or spirituality. If that works for you, outstanding, you go. But I have found in my own life that when I draw upon different sources, I have a more comprehensive understanding of who I am. And that's always a search, right? We're searching throughout our lives. Who are we? What are we here for? That's a perennial question, couple of questions. But in terms of taking the eclectic approach, I applaud you for it because you were willing to look around, to, in a sense, shop around to find what worked optimally for you. I would recommend that to anyone who questions maybe their own religious upbringing. I do not practice the faith in which I was raised. That doesn't mean I disrespect it. I learned some great values through it, and they are with me still. But there's so much more to learn, so many more angles from which you can look at spirituality, including one's own personal spirituality and relationship to spirit.
I really agree with that. And I think that for me, I struggled so much with that because everyone I knew was just practicing the faith. And if you stepped out of that, then you were considered a bad person. And because I didn't want to be deemed the bad person or, you know, the black sheep, I struggled for a long time to really understand who I am on an authentic level. And basically, it took me some time to get to where I am right now because I struggled so much with that. But I encourage anyone, regardless of where they come from, to find a faith that works for you, even if it's different types of faiths that you can kind of put together into one. Whatever works for you is what works. And it took me a while to really understand that. So yeah, I agree that once we can really cultivate a faith or something that lights us up and makes us feel happy and whole and more authentic to ourselves, then that's what we need to go after. That's how we can become who we were meant to be, I feel, in this world.
In the next few minutes before we take our break, Chloe, you just mentioned being authentic, and you write about having to take your power back from those who had power over you. And it wasn't necessarily that there was this idea of domination, but you are brought up in a particular culture with a particular family, you know, with particular friends, teachers, all of that makes up who we are, because when we're born into this world, we have no idea who we are. And so our parents tell us, you know, you're cranky, or you're always happy, or you're this or you're that. And so we take that information, then we make friends, our friends tell us who we are, then we go to school and our teachers tell us who we are. And you're all about finding your authentic self. And that means taking that power back. It has a lot to do with what you believe. And you talk a lot about, you know, making changes to your beliefs. That's very hard work, don't you think? Isn't that what you're talking about when you talk about doing your inner work, is changing your actual beliefs?
Yeah, it is very hard work. And it can be scary. It can feel as if, you know, the world is against you. But when we peel back the layers of pain and shame and programming and invisibility and marginalization, we get our whole authentic, unscathed self, the self that we were born into this world as. But again, as time goes on, we are influenced by our caretakers, our family, our friends, and we put up these walls, these layers, because we don't know who we're supposed to be. And I wanted this book to help people question their belief systems. Why do you believe in what you believe in? Is it because someone told you to believe this? But have you done the research to find out, is this my truth? And I encourage listeners to find their truth, find what lights them up, and what they really want to call in this world. So becoming an authentic self is when we peel back all those layers, and all we have left is our unscathed self, our whole worthy self.
And the way people can do that is outlined in your book, Untapped Magic. And that is one thing by one thing, item by item, step by step. And in every chapter, you have exercises that people can do. And you start with something you want. You know, choose an item that you want. Choose something that you want in your life that you don't now have. And in doing that step by step, I think it naturally brings you to doing the inner work that you need to do to look at certain things in your life to see where those beliefs came from and to examine them to decide if you really believe that or not. And I'm sure you had many of those questions yourself when you identified a certain belief. And how hard is that to identify what your belief is, if that is your reality? If you're saying to yourself, well, it isn't that I just believe it, that's what's real.
Mm-hmm.
There's no distinction there.
When
truly there is, there's more than one truth, there's more than one perspective. But it's hard for us to see the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
We're saying, well, that's not what I believe. That's actually how things are.
I believe that we all have our own realities. We live in our own realities. What's true for you may not be true for me. What's true for me may not be true for you. But because we put feeling into it, because we believe in it, because it's embedded in our subconscious mind, that is our truth, and that is what's going to appear to us in our reality. So for some people, again, this goes back to, let's say, a relationship. Some people may believe that everyone's going to cheat on them. So all they attract and all that they are perceived in their reality are cheaters, because their subconscious mind takes this as their truth. But other people believe that everyone's going to treat them with respect and kindness and joy and happiness. And all that they're going to experience in their life is just that, because their subconscious mind has been programmed to perceive their reality with those types of experiences. So if a belief isn't lining up with us, we have to question, what do I want to change in my life? What is not showing up for me that I want to cultivate? And then we have to call that in. We have to peel back the layers, but we also have to dig deep and ask ourselves, what do we want? And then take the necessary actionable aligned steps to get there.
More about that after our break.
Our honored guest of the hour is Chloe Panta, author of Untapped Magic, Manifestation Methods for Living a Limitless Life. Give us a couple of minutes. We'll be right back. We are Manson Mitchell, and we're sure glad you joined us today.
Hi, everybody. This is Anson Williams from Happy Days, and I'm so excited to tell you about American Road. It is the best car travel magazine in the world. They have the most fantastic adventures detailed in each magazine with all your itinerary. We could just jump in the car with your family and have the most fabulous adventures you've ever had in your life. Please get a copy of American Road and start your own adventure.
Staying connected with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell is easy. Just go to manceandmitchell.com for the latest info on topics and guests. Friend Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell on their Facebook pages and like the Mance and Mitchell show page at facebook.com/manceandmitchell. If you're on Twitter, share a follow with Gary and Suzanne at Mance Mitchell. Join Gary and Suzanne Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for an unusual show that covers everything from personal growth to the paranormal.
Here's an amazing act. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual, novelty act.
The home of the A-Team of Alternative Talk is manceandmitchell.com. Heard right here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m. or streaming live from your computer anywhere.
Terry Loving wants to help you with your online marketing challenges right now. She has several courses she is giving away, to help you get your business working for you online. Yes, giving away. WordPress websites are her specialty, yet her technical skills go way beyond that. Check out her blog at terryloving.com or email her directly at terry@terryloving.com. That's terry@terryloving.com.
On Friday, Manson Mitchell welcomed Chloe Panta, author of Untapped Magic, Manifestation Methods for Living a Limitless Life, who went from the streets of Detroit to the mountains of California by changing her thinking.
On Saturday, Josie Varga returns with more great stories of afterlife communications from real people showing that our souls survive on the other side.
Bringing you Mastery and Mystery since 2007.
We are Manson Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Be sure to support the sponsors of your favorite shows on Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Manson Mitchell and our guest this hour, a first-timer, Chloe Panta, author of Untapped Magic. Chloe, if people would like to get your book, and it's brand new, it's only been out 3 weeks, so it hasn't been out a long time, but if people want to find out more about you and what you're doing and your book, where are the best places for them to do that? Websites, social media, anything that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah. So I can be found on my website. It's chloepanta.co. It's chloepanta.co. I'm also on Instagram at chloepanta. And I also run a program. It is a signature program that I've created. It's a 3-month program for anyone who's interested in up-leveling their life. It's called the Year of You. And then a year, you will transform into the person that you've actually always wanted to be, achieving the goals and your dreams with me, holding your hand along the way. And my book, Untapped Magic, can be found wherever books are sold. You can also get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target. Also, Powell's Bookstore has the book as well. So that's where you can find me. And if you're looking to uplevel your life and transform in some way beyond the book, then I'm taking new clients for my program, The Year of You. It is a 3-month program to help you get to where you want to go if you're looking for that extra support.
Thank you. I wanted to get into some specifics in the second half of the show for those people who are very interested, and who wouldn't be, in manifesting the things that they would like to have in their lives. I'm looking on page 111 and 112, where you've got some action steps there. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about, you know, decide what you want and play around with it, take action and have faith in a power greater than yourself. It looks like you have, in this case, 3 steps. I mean, you make it simple enough that anybody should be able to do it. But I wanted you to talk a little bit about, you know, those 3 steps to manifesting.
Yeah. So what I tell a lot of people, these are my clients, but also the readers, is I want people to actually decide upon what they want. So sometimes we have no idea what we're trying to manifest. We're just like, I just want something to happen for me. But I think it's important for us to actually focus on manifesting what we really want and getting specific with that. Because the more specific we are, we can try that on. We can see how it feels. And then if it doesn't feel right, we can either ask for something a little bit lesser that feels more comfortable for us until we're able to ask for bigger and better goals. I think that a lot of times some people get caught up with wanting to ask for really, really big things, and they haven't done the work yet to even get a smaller thing. So once we do the smaller manifestations, we're able to upgrade to a lot of bigger goals in our lives that will be easier for us to achieve. So one thing I do say is to have people play around with manifesting to see how it feels when they're actually able to manifest what they want. Another thing I talk about, which is very important, is to actually take action. So again, some of us will talk about things all day long, but we don't take action to get there. So I break down for us to take small bite-sized steps every single day. If you're writing a book, you write for 1 hour a day. That's taking a small step. If you can't do an hour, write for 20 minutes a day. Put in some time to make that a daily habit so that your trust muscle is working and you're able to utilize that muscle to get stronger whenever you're trying to manifest something. And then the third thing that I talk about is having faith in a power that's greater than yourself. Because when we're working with manifestation in the universe, we're working with the power that we cannot see. We can't see what the universe is going to bring to us because it's in a metaphysical world. But when we're able to trust in a power that's greater than ourselves, we're working with a power that's going to attract to us what we are surrendering to. And what I mean by that, once we've done the work, we let go of all expectations. We're not going to hold on tight to that thing because we've told the universe what we want, and they're going to bring that to us. When we surrender, we're able to actually tell the universe, I trust you. I know it's coming to me. I've put in the work, and I'm going to wait for that thing to manifest into my life.
You talk about something that I personally have talked about many, many times on this show because I am such a true believer in this. And that is that we are all vibrating at a certain frequency. And so when we're vibrating and have certain beliefs, those beliefs match our vibration. And you talk about low energetics and high energetics. What an important distinction to make from getting where you are to getting where you want to be. And I wanted you to say a little bit about your personal vibration.
Yeah. So when we're trying to manifest something, sometimes it can feel really hard. Like it's just so far away, it's out of our reach. And that means that what we're trying to call in is on a different vibrational frequency level than where we currently are. So what that means is we have to raise our vibe to match that of the thing that we want. That can mean showing more gratitude for where we currently are right now versus being unhappy about where we currently are. Because the more grateful that we are for our current process and this journey, that's how we manifest things faster to attract things to us. But it's also being unblocked in those areas. So if we're not unblocked, we're not going to attract what we're trying to attract to us. That can mean going to the subconscious mind to make sure that we are undoing what we believe in that isn't going to help us bring what we want into our lives quicker. That can mean changing our belief systems to call in something new. And once we do that, we then are going to raise our vibe. Once our vibe matches what we're trying to call in, we're going to easily get that because now we're on the same vibe wavelength as the thing it is that we want. And I think a lot of us don't understand that we live in a world that is full of energy. It's an energetic field that we live on. And so are the things that are in this world. And if we want something, we have to make sure that we're matching the vibrational frequency level of the thing that we want. When we have high thought energetics, then we're able to attract high energetic objects, situations, and people in our lives. When we have low thought energetics, we're actually attracting low vibe situations, low vibe people, because we're operating on a very low frequency level. So that's what that means. And that's how we're able to call in what we want by raising our vibe to get there.
It reminds me of misery loves company. So when everybody's miserable, oh yeah, everybody can top that story.
How low can you go, actually? Commiserating. You know, Suzanne, you gave me the perfect opening here to ask Chloe, did you have those pivotal points in your life where people, good friends of yours, or coworkers perhaps, maybe family members, have said to you, Chloe, you've changed? And when they said it, they didn't necessarily intend it as a compliment. You may see it as, thank the good Lord, yes, I have changed, and here's how it happened. But have you had people who were, and maybe still are, near and dear to you, say you changed in a way that indicates their discomfort with your transformation?
No one has said that to me to my face. No one has told me that I've changed in a way that makes them uncomfortable. If anything, makes people curious because they want to know, well, how did you get what you've got in your life and how can I get that? It makes people want to know how can they also achieve certain success because they want to also live that life. No one's come to me and said in a way that I've changed that may be offensive to them. There have been some individuals that may be feeling envy or jealous emotions, but what that means is that it's just simply their subconscious mind telling them this is also possible for you to have. If I can achieve this, then so can you. But a lot of people don't understand really what envy or jealousy mean. So I broke it down in my book to talk about what those feelings mean and how to overcome them. But people have been either very curious, they've been extremely proud of me, they've been cheerleading me on as my life has gone on now. In my younger years, there were people that did come to me and say that you've changed. But again, it was never in a way that was threatening or with displeasure. It was always with curiosity intact or I'm proud of you. I want to see you do well. And I also want to do well, too. So that's what I've been getting.
When you are a spiritual seeker and you're making these changes in your life, you are transforming your life from what you knew, what was comfortable, what you were taught, into a completely different world. Isn't there a lot of fear in the background going on?
You know, early on, there was a bit of fear because, again, when you're taught something your entire life and everyone you know is telling you this is the only way, you have to do it this way or there is no way you're going to ever be successful, you're going down the wrong path. It's very scary to go down a path that's unknown and you don't know what's going to happen next. But again, I kept having these pings. I kept having little synchronicities that were happening to me that told me, no, this is the way that you need to go. You don't need to listen to these people. They wish you well. They mean well. But because you're doing something that they haven't done or experienced before, it's scary to them. So what you're doing is considered fearful, but you need to continue to go down your path. So again, I think that's why in my early 20s, I kind of dibbled and dabbled with one foot in spirituality and then one foot with my faith that I grew up with, because I just kind of wanted to know, well, which is right? Which is it? What do I do? And when I finally figured out, well, this is where I want to be, I feel happiest doing this. And I want to learn more about spirituality. That's where I decided to stay. But I think that a lot of us feel fearful because we are doing something that we've never done before. And it can be uncomfortable. It can be scary because you don't know what's going to happen next. But when you do the same things over and over again, you know what's going to happen. You may not like it, but because you're comfortable with the outcome, you're going to continue to become complacent and stay that way. But when you're growing, when you're up leveling, you will be uncomfortable, but you're also going to learn and expand yourself. And I had to expand myself to become who I am today.
I'd like to read a little bit from your book, a couple of 2-3 paragraphs here, and it gives people a sense of what it is that you're writing about. You write on 177, you might feel like giving up. It's either because what you want feels like hard work, you're overexerting yourself, or you feel as if you bit off more than you could chew. If this is the case, you need to take a step back and reevaluate your strategy. It also means that the thing you want is still at a much higher vibrational frequency level than when you are. Ask yourself a couple of questions. Am I trying to do more than I can sustain? If your goal is to lose weight and you haven't been to the gym in over a year, deciding to go to the gym 6 days a week will last only on willpower, which is not a long-term sustainable solution. As soon as you get to week 2 on your gym plan, your body may be physically exhausted and you won't feel like going to the gym ever again. Instead, you need to build up your inner power, which will more than outlast your willpower because your inner strength comes from your authentic self. This may mean starting off by going to the gym 2 days a week and reevaluating the goal after you've stabilized that habit. And then you also say, am I doing anything at all? Some of us have a problem with procrastination. We know what we need to do to get where we want to go, but guess what? We don't want to do it. It's not out of sheer laziness. It's just that the thing we want is looking like an 800-pound gorilla, and we don't know how to tackle it. So instead of taking baby steps around the big thing, we try to jump on its back, and it throws us off. And it reminds me of when I see something on my to-do list for 3-4 weeks at a time. I just can't get to it. I just can't get to it. I just can't get to it. And then I say to myself, how can I break this down? How can I make this smaller? Because it seems like the 800-pound gorilla. Mm-hmm. And so if I've got something that's going on and on and on, and I just keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it off, I say, what small part of this can I do? And you talk a lot about small steps to achieve bigger things. I am a big fan of that philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Because I used to be a person who hated to do things. I hated tackling my to-do list. They would pile up for years. Literally, I remember I was about, I don't know, maybe 17 or 18, and I had to renew my passport. I didn't renew it until I was like 23 because it was lazy and I didn't want to actually have to go and get it done. And I said, you know what? Something has to change. I need to be able to put something together where I'm going to be able to be a person, even though I don't like doing it, who's going to get stuff done. And my to-do list is going to be clean by the end of every day because I'll feel better. And when I left things lingering, I wouldn't feel good about myself because I'm like, this thing is still not done. So what I do is I put the most difficult things on my to-do list first, the things I really don't want to do. I tackle the biggest things first and then the easier things throughout the day. And that way I feel like I've accomplished a really big thing. So it's taken some time, but I mean, I've mastered something that I used to struggle with for years. I just didn't like to get things done. I didn't like to go to the gym. I didn't like to get up early. But now I become a person who regularly wakes up just on autopilot between 5 and 5:17 exactly. I don't know why it's 5:17, but I'm awake. And I am a person who is doing the best I can to live a healthy life because I know the importance of what that means. But also my authentic self just naturally wants to wake up early. I naturally want to get things done. I naturally enjoy living a great life. And I think this is the outcome of what happens when you become who you want to be and you take those small steps and they become your daily habits as time goes on.
It reminds me of a saying from the late, great Dr. Robert Schuller, who used to say, inch by inch, anything's a cinch.
What is it? Yard by yard, life is hard, something like that.
Right. Yard by yard, life is hard.
Yeah.
And inch by inch, anything's a cinch.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't burden yourself. It's like the, you know, Chloe, how many people, yeah, I'm guilty until I decided to stop doing this and really to let go of expectations while maintaining my values and having goals that become definable as I think about them and imagine the implications. The people are mighty revved up on December 31st about how great the next year is going to be. They are going to drop 30 pounds, they're going to meet the love of their life, and they're going to drive the best car in town and then buy a big house, out preferably on the beach. And then about 1 or 2 weeks in, all of that collapses like a house of cards. That's almost everybody who attempts that. And what I love about your philosophy and about your book, Untapped Magic, is that you want people to dream big. You want people to aim high there, but keep it manageable, because if you become your own worst enemy by overstriving beyond your frequency, beyond the vibrancy of your life at any given point, it is by definition a self-defeating pattern.
Mm-hmm. I also don't want people to feel that they have been destroyed or that their goals are not achievable. I think that for a lot of people, and especially inner city youth, they've been told most of their lives that things aren't going to happen for them. They don't have the resources or the opportunities. So for them, they want to dream big because they don't know of any other dream to have other than to dream big. But I also want people to take the tiny steps to get to the thing that they want, the big thing. You can't get to the big thing tomorrow, but if you take the steps today and you put a plan together, you can get there, let's say, within the next 6 months or a year or 2 years, but you'll get there. But you have to take action every single day, small steps that are going to propel you to become who you really want to be. I think so many of us, some of us, we want to be that person today. We want a quick fix. We want to have something right now. We have a society that has access to everything at the tips of our fingertips. So for something to take more than that time, it's too long. But we have to build sustainable habits in order for us to live a long, sustainable, happy life, because our lives are not just, you know, like a fast food chain where you drive in and you drive out. We're doing this for the long run. So we have to propel ourselves to become an authentic version of ourselves that's going to last us this entire lifetime and sustain us with success. And that's why the tips are geared towards small daily wins, because I want us to win every single day and then create a life that's going to last us for a lifetime, one that's going to be limitless.
I think that you will inspire others to seek a better life because of exactly what you are talking about in Untapped Magic. And that is, every chapter has some exercises. None of them are overly difficult. They wouldn't take that long to do, but step by step, you really take people by the hand and say, this is how it worked for me. This is how it can work for you, in a way that is very, very doable. Mm-hmm. And I like the simplicity of it, because I find some of the most profound things are some of the simplest things. And I like the way you go about it in Untapped Magic. So I would say, you know, get the book, start the exercises, and see where your life takes you, because there is a better life for everybody out there. And yeah, a lot of people just need to know, well, how do I start? Where do I begin? And this is a great teaching for people to let them know where to begin and how to do it step by step.
Yeah. Thank you, Suzanne. That's why I wrote it, to help people. So I'm glad to help someone.
That was evident. Yeah, that was evident. It wasn't just about you or how great your life is, but it's about how other people's lives have changed from their taking the small steps as well. You've got some great stories in there.
Yeah, thank you.
Quite inspirational. No, inspirational and workable. That's the key. I did want to ask you, we've got about a minute left here, Chloe. What are the early reviews? What's the early feedback? Because this is a new release, Untapped Magic. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing good things? I mean, we're hoping people are hearing good things right now. But how about the feedback that you've gotten directly?
You know, people have messaged me, they've emailed me, they've reached out in my social media direct messages, and they've told me that this book has changed their life. Like, they love the book. It's helping them. They're doing the mantras. They're listening to the audios I've created that are in the book. In case you guys don't know, I created some subliminal audios to help people to go further in the book, to actually reach their subconscious mind, to help them reprogram the way that they're thinking. So that way, what they're learning can be imprinted in the subconscious mind and rewrite the old neural pathways. So that way, this stuff actually sticks. But people are giving me really great positive feedback, and I'm just happy that it's helping people, to be honest with you. That was my goal with writing this book, and I'm getting that.
Chloe Panta, author of Untapped Magic, Manifestation Methods for Living a Limitless Life. It's been a joy talking with you, Chloe. We wish you much success, and I hope we'll have a chance to talk on air again.
Yeah, that'll be great. I'm happy to be on the show. Thank you.
Chloe Panta, everybody.
All right. And stay tuned at 1 o'clock today for American Road Trip Talk.
Yes, we're going to talk about the 2024 Skagit Valley Tulip Festival. Good times await. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend, everybody. We thank you so much for your time and attention.